The world is a complicated place. It's difficult to follow the regulations and the rules. It's difficult to locate where power really resides. Football is not like that. Football is nice. And what a day it is to be a football fan, and what a time it is to be a West Ham United fan. We are recording this yesterday, so at this point, I already will know the results of West Ham's historic match against Fiorentina in the Europa Conference League final. And this happened because we held a lovely West Ham United party. And either it was a magnificent and historic night and West Ham rightly triumphed against Fiorentina, or it was a night of corruption, historic transgressions, bribed officials.
What's it like being future you at the moment? How are you feeling?
Future me is so awakened and so evolved. And let's face it, so bloody sexy.
How do you feel about past you at this point?
I don't even recognise that idiot anymore, the stuff that he stood for.
Sure.
But what I thought was weird is you at that party taking your top off as a whole fan to celebrate or commiserate so strongly, either to take off your top because you were so happy that West Ham won, or take off your top in rage.
No one will ever know.
But we filmed it and captured it.
Yeah.
And your dirty protest to celebrate the result, for good or for ill.
At this point, do I need to do these things?
You've got to do the things that I'm sort of suggesting
out
you
of
do.
Order.
Let's have a look at us celebrating or commiserating. Look. Right, there you go. But now we're back to past me, and I don't know what's happened, so my mood will be inappropriate. But there's loads of things for us to talk about elsewhere. And for, like, you know, we can talk about my feelings of anticipation. I feel like, hold on a minute, let me engage with it. I keep thinking like West Ham will lose. I think that's what West Ham do. If you're an English person, you know what it's like to be an England fan. Being an England fan is like is disappointing. I wonder if England are closer to West Ham or Tottenham, like as in... England are not really like West Ham, because West Ham, in our half hearts, don't believe that we deserve to win things.
Right.
Whereas, like, as an England fan, you think, why are we not doing well in this World Cup? Like Tottenham, and their new Antipodean overlord,
Postecoglou, isn't it?
Postecoglou. Did you learn it when he was in Scotland?
Yeah. I mean, he's just won the treble with Celtic, hasn't he?
Yeah. So. Is that when you learned it?
Oh, yeah. And I didn't know it before then.
And did you see him? Have you seen him do stuff and hear him talk and stuff?
Yeah, it's lovely hearing him talk, because it's like watching... I know this is going to sound awful, but it's like watching someone like Alf Ramsey off Home and Away or something. There's a reference.
If you thought us talking about football on this platform where our audience is primarily American was negligent, let's hear some of Gareth's insights on the cast of Home and Away in the late 80s.
They've just got a different kind of...
I like Australians.
Tone
I love
about
the whole
them.
Culture. Mm. I say culture, whatever it is they do instead of culture. I love that about Australia. And I like this guy's sort of... I like his way, what I've seen of him. I thought because of his name, Postecoglou, that he was from somewhere
I didn't realise he was Australian
Balkans
until about 6 months ago.
Yeah, that's what I thought. But I like how I really like him. Now, I watched a video about him. Apparently, he's a tactical genius. He uses inverted fullbacks. They play very high up the field. They had about 75% possession over the SPL season. And even in their games in Europe, in which they lost every game in the group stages of the Champions League, apparently they play in an encouraging way. And you know when people break down data, like they, you know, expected goals and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Like, and then it's, you know, reality is different from the prediction of reality, which was what makes this a difficult episode of the show. He's like his teams do better than expected. Like, so the assumption is if he gets to work with the players at Tottenham, he's going to create results. But Tottenham have a long history of weird managers that don't want like work
I
out.
I know.
Martin Jol,
yep.
who proudly showed the fans his travel card. Like, they thought that that would be what made people like him.
Yeah.
Like, I've got it. He was Dutch, wasn't he? Mm. I've got a travel card. He was the response to Arsenal getting Arsene Wenger. Like, I get it. It was like they sort of were copying Arsenal.
Yeah.
Let's get some weird sort of academic guy. Yeah. But they've got a French one. We'll get a Dutch one. And I've got a travel card. Ooh, I hope this works. Because Arsene Wenger... It was like, are you all going to eat food? Mm. We've seen people like Ray Parlour goes, he makes us chew our food 100 times.
Yeah.
Like people, British players, all confused.
Yeah, but then when Spurs did eat foreign food, there was lasagna gate, wasn't it? That was under Martignol, I think, wasn't it?
It was around that time that Spurs got dicky bellies under the lasagna, gave away a Champions League spot because they lost to West Ham United.
AVB was another one, wasn't he?
Yeah, AVB Spurs was failures. One of that when they were doing Chelsea managers.
Yeah, that's it.
That was we'll their do Chelsea Mourinho manager. Now. That was under Tim Sherwood manager.
Oh, it was Sherwood, wasn't it?
Under Sherwood, that brief. Well, I think he was promoted from like the youth team, eh? To be. So, Postecoglou, once I get used to saying his name, are Spurs going to sell Harry Kane?
Well, Madrid want him, don't they, apparently?
I don't want him to go to Real Madrid.
I do want him to go.
Why?
Because I think he deserves it. I want it for him. I want him to actually win something, and he will win something in Spain.
He'll win La Liga.
He'll probably win the league. I think the way that Madrid's side, it looks very promising for the future. They've got some great youngsters, haven't they? I think they want Mbappe, obviously, if they can. But if they can't prize him away, Kane would be amazing. I hope he goes.
You don't want Kane to stay in the Prem?
I just think for him, like he has been... Brilliant. I mean, and he seems really nice.
He's a lovely man.
A nice man. And
decent
fellow. He's done enough for Spurs and he's done enough for England, and I think he deserves... I know he's obviously made a lot of money, but he deserves to win something.
Do you think
surely.
If he goes to Manchester United, he's still not going to win anything anyway, so what's the point?
He's not going to win the league, honestly, is he? He's not going to win the league. He's not going to win the Champions League.
No.
He might win the FA Cup or League Cup, but let's let him go to Madrid.
This show is called Football is Nice because we are continually observing that what really football is nice.
Blown up.
No, it's like, it entails so many beautiful things. Rivalry undertaken in good spirit. Competition, but without malevolence. That it creates community, togetherness, fun, humour, buoyancy. But sometimes football obviously creates a lot of madness and intensity. This, I think, is an interesting and somewhat embarrassing story because, like, David Beckham, perhaps still maybe the biggest football sort of brand, maybe you could say, has employed his former Class 92 mate, yeah. Phil Neville, to run Inter Miami. Good name. Because I always think when a football team has a name that's like, you know, see Aston Villa.
Yeah.
There's no reason for the word. I don't even know if there's a place called Aston. I mean, it's weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like why are they even called that? It doesn't make sense. And then, like Sheffield Wednesday. It's because they played on the Wednesday and United played on the Saturday or whatever. So it's a weird thing to be called Sheffield Wednesday.
Yeah.
Like West Ham United. Okay, fair. It's really just called United.
Mm.
Some teams are putting with like Rovers. Like if you're Blackburn, Rovers, we rove around. There's a weird thing to name it, Wolverhampton Wanderers. We wander. Like wandering and roving, they're not like attributes that strike terror. What are you doing? Just wandering. Yeah. It's too poetic.
Yeah, because that's the last thing you want your players to do on the pitch, isn't it?
You're wandering around. We're trying to have a compact...
Stop it.
Postecoglou.
Coglu, yeah.
Postecoglou's in charge now. He wants a high press. He wants inverted wing backs, making sure you get possession right out of the field. Oh, sorry, I thought I'd see a daffodil. Stop wandering. Yeah. Or roving.
Mm.
That's a bit more intention to it, at least. It seems like when they were naming, Argyle, that don't mean Plymouth Argyle, who Leon supports, that don't even mean anything.
Mm.
Argyle, it'll be some sort of Celtic word for saying it, some sort of Celtic word. Down there in Cornwall, they might as well be Irish. Like down there, they might, like, I'm no offence, that's not okay. I'm saying they don't think they're English.
Right.
You know, there's bits of, not like Welsh, they don't want to be in Britain. Mm. Scottish, absolutely hate England. Irish, it was never ours in the first place, shouldn't have nicked it. It was a reprehensible crime against humanity. But then even within it, when you get into it, you start to recognise localisation is
here
the
answer.
Here
we go. I thought we'd get to this at some point. Decentralisation.
But calling your club Inter Miami, that's a gangster move because I reckon it's like to get the Latin population involved and to evoke the image of Inter Milan.
Yeah, I mean,
right?
that decision's not come from their past, has it? It's just like, what's the best name that we can come up with that, as you say, will work for us kind of financially, I guess.
You would never call them the Miami Wanderers. We wander around Miami trying our best at life. Although Phil Neville, the manager, a coach of Inter Miami, he would do better with a team like that because he looks like someone from the 1950s, specifically.
Yes,
he looks like Steptoe. I don't know. He looks like a rag and bone man from 1950s England.
That'll be the quote for the papers.
No, but I mean to say that he'd be better off with a team called the Wanderers,
yes,
or the Rovers.
You'd think it would be a better
Albion
fit.
Not Inter Miami.
No. I'm amazed that it kind of happened, to be honest, because they're talking about players like, they're trying to get Messi to Inter Miami. They want Messi, and then when they're looking at managers, they go to Phil Neville. No disrespect to Phil Neville, who's a great player for United, great player for Everton.
Done good with the Lionesses, didn't he?
He did all right.
Did he not do good?
He didn't do that well, to be honest.
I can't tell if people are good managers.
It wasn't
a
great
record. It's the hardest thing to know if someone's going to be a good manager, then are they going to be a good manager for long? Mm. It's a hard thing.
Yeah.
So they would, like, you know, once The Athletic ran a sort of a bunch of simulations or something, and they said, actually, it don't make any difference. Like, other than total geniuses like Guardiola,
right,
or Clough or Jock Steen or someone, you might as well not bother. Like, it goes, hey, averages out.
Well, that was the article, was it? You might as well not bother.
By The Athletic, just have anyone. So, like, Phil Neville and his Inter Miami Wanderers. Mm. He's lovely, Phil Neville, of course he is. But in this interview, you can see how football is currently, in this moment at least, not nice. It's pressurised him. Mm. And also, it's interesting because he's, I think, playing out, like, anyone who played under Alex Ferguson has to have in their sort of DNA as they transition from player to coach what Fergie was like. But Fergie, he was a one-off. He was an immature. He was an OG. He was a person that was able in press conferences to go, I'm never talking to, like, didn't he just sort of say, I'm not going to talk to the BBC anymore,
right,
you individual journalists, you can fuck off, like, threw things at his players, booted teacups, air dryer. He was like, a lot of accessories.
He
like a Barbie. Like, yeah, have a teacup, go, drive a little pink car into Jap Stab's leg. Like, he's always got an accessory. And like, Phil Neville, is he going to be able to pull it off when
he hasn't got the accessories, has he?
You got no accessories, baby. Let's see what happens when an American sports journalist challenges Phil Neville.
I think you always look for things to be negative about Franco. So, we won five.
That thing where you can tell with managers when the sort of pressure's gone, it's too much now. This is his final press conference.
Yeah, this is just pure intensity at this moment, isn't it? His eyes aren't, they're not in a good place.
It just must be so hard to know that you're sort of getting sacked and things aren't going well and your mate David Beckham owns the
team.
That
must add the pressure on.
I hate that.
That must do.
I don't
like you owning a football team and getting me and his manager.
Right. Oh. Actually, should we do that?
I'd like that.
Let's do it. But I won't sack you.
He says that now.
Well, we're called
10 games in, we've only won one.
We're the Buckinghamshire Whoopsie Daisies. It's a low pressure gig. Like, you know, I've done my five-a-side.
Did you do it? I was meant to ask you about it.
I'll tell you about it after we finish Phil Neville. Jesus. Angry he is there.
Yeah.
Like that. I think if he was going to, that's a simian face.
Yes.
That's like his most natural thing there. He wants to jump across that desk and savage that person, doesn't he?
He wants to morph into Ferguson at this point, doesn't he?
Yeah, yeah. And like, and have the sort of power, the power to sort of shut people down. But like, it's horrible to feel that vulnerable. I felt it most of my life, really.
Speaking. Are you going to interrupt? Can I finish speaking? Okay, because I don't interrupt your question. Okay, so don't interrupt mine. Show some fucking respect.
Right, good. You've made a stand there. Everything's
and
okay.
He's added a swear word as well.
I've sworn.
Which I think he immediately regrets.
I've upped the ante. I've said fuck. And one of the sponsors there is Baptist Health. It's got sort of vaguely Christian connotations. And that's going to be good
down
there in Miami.
Like, there was a big pause as well. It's not like the journalist, like, he wasn't like mid-sentence. There was a massive pause.
Let's have a look at that pause again and see if the journalist was...
It's a huge pause.
Can we go back a little bit? Just like, how big's the pause? And is the...
No, you'd have to go further back than that.
Yeah, let's see the pause.
Things to be negative about Franco. So, we won five.
That's a fairly big pause.
It's a pretty big pause.
It's a 5-second pause. That's a 5-second pause.
Right, that's the rules. 5-second pause. You're allowed to interrupt.
Right, like, listen, watch this, Gareth. I think we're doing pretty well Stay Free Media. It's obviously risky to talk about football in the middle of a show that's mainly for an American audience, but...
The thing that I'd say about...
Gareth! I mean, that one, I couldn't even wait 5 seconds!
Well,
I couldn't even wait! Right, I'll try again, hold on. It is risky in the middle of a show that's broadcast on Rumble. It's primarily aimed at a sort of a politicised American audience, but I say that this content will take off.
What I'd say, Russell, is...
How dare you! How dare you! That's too much. I felt awkward. I felt awkward in the time. I started to blush.
Yes, I noticed that. I wondered what that was about.
I was blushing because of the dead air. Dead air, Phil.
Right.
Your name should be your modality. Phil. Phil!
Look, can I finish speaking? Sure. Are you going to interrupt?
I understand. Now, for God's sake... Don't lose your thread. That's what I'll say.
And then he says, I allowed you to do your question. Will you allow me to do mine? But yours isn't a question.
Don't mistake a question and a statement like your brother mistakes weekends for mini retirements. Make sure you stay on track. Don't needlessly swear in front of a brand that's named itself after a particularly religious branch of Christianity, and don't then forget what you were going to say.
What's wrong, Phil? It's almost like you're going to get sacked in the morning.
Can I finish speaking? Okay, because I don't interrupt your question. Okay, so don't interrupt mine. Show some fucking respect. So, sorry for the language.
Got that already. And also, I'm beginning to... Oh, he's obviously a really nice person.
Yeah.
Oh, no. He's a really nice person. Yeah. We're only mucking about.
Yeah, of course we are. Well, this is within the context of football. This is not about Phil Neville as a person.
You're lovely. Also, he looks quite angry, and I reckon he'd kick our heads in. It's quite hard, like when he's angry.
I wonder how Phil Neville feels about his brother. Because his brother, of the Nevilles, you would say the pecking order goes Gary.
Gary.
You would think so, wouldn't you?
Do you think if there's only two people, it's worth having a pecking order? Can't you both peck together?
I don't know.
Just to both have a
peck. Who would you choose? Go on.
Gary.
Right.
Like Gary, he's amazing on Sky. He's the Hanson of his generation. Mm. He reinvented punditry. He made it intelligent.
Hotels.
He came in after Gray and Keys and made it a bit more sort of acceptable and cooler, I suppose.
He's got the hotels, hasn't he?
He's got that hotel where they didn't put on enough, when I say enough, any fanfare for my arrival. When I stayed at it that time with a fantasy that I developed on the journey to the hotel that it would happen.
That's the one blemish, though, on his CV.
Otherwise, perfect, except maybe that game against Everton towards the end of his career where he sort of played a bit too long.
Yeah, yeah.
But other than that, unblemished. Mm. I really love Gary Neville.
Right, so there is a pecking order. I knew it.
There's a Beckham order over in Miami, and you ain't in it, Phil.
Sorry, what was the question? Ask me the question again, please, Franco.
Oh no.
Please ask me that question that I told you a minute ago to not ask. Please do ask it.
I didn't like that. Listen, show some fucking respect. Don't do that. Sorry for swearing. Do that again. We've just got some breaking news, though, by now, because this is pre-recorded. It's broken and you're all aware of it. But nonetheless, for us, it's breaking.
Past you, this is breaking
past
news.
Me. You're going to love this past me. Messi is going to Inter Miami.
Wow. Amazing.
And they said he might go back to Barcelona, but that was a stalking horse to get his wages up for Inter Miami, of course.
Well, at least he's not gone to Saudi Arabia.
Another bit of breaking news. Jude Bellingham has signed for Real for €103 million. Mm. I wanted him in the Prem, but at least he's not a City. I'd rather he went to a Real than City.
So now do you want Kane to go? Kane, Bellingham, English Revolution at Real Madrid.
What if they get Rice?
Oh, I think he's going to Arsenal, isn't he?
Rice. Is it for sure?
Well, not for sure, but you know. Well, okay. Hang on, where would you prefer Rice to go? Arsenal or Madrid?
Oh yeah, Madrid. Then you don't have to go through it.
Right.
It's just over there.
Yeah.
It's just over there now. It's almost honourable.
It's a bit like for me with Jared Bowen. I can support Jared Bowen all I like because we never play
never
West Ham. So
him
I can
again.
Just enjoy Jared Bowen in the Premier League.
If it was an ex-lover who you still hold a candle
for. And you're saying he's not?
You don't, like, it's better that the ex-lover goes to live in France and you don't ever see him again.
Right.
Rather than they're in the next house with their new lover who's the equivalent of Real Madrid, United or something.
Yeah.
You don't want that, do you?
No. The next house or the same house. That happens sometimes, doesn't it?
I can't have that.
No.
Same house?
Well, you know, sometimes, anyway, it's not for the football chat, but
what
you
do
hear
you mean?
These
have
stories.
You been around one of your confusing barbecues? What's happened to you now? Some of you will be aware that Gareth went to a barbecue that became confusing and fart-laden and 3 hours long. A fart-laden 3-hour festival of farts where Gareth couldn't get out. It involved too many blankets being laid down, didn't it?
Well, it's probably the first barbecue of many. It's the summertime, isn't it? It's going to be one every couple of nights.
You're going to be fighting your way through July, my friend. Fighting your way through the close season. Oh, it's been another 100 million transfer. want a bit of mustard on that. Yeah, what I'll do is I'll mix the mayo and ketchup together. Sorry.
Good technique.
I played for you. I know my children think it's like ingenious, and I tell them that it is as well. They're pleased with it. I played five-a-side then. I went for that five-a-side.
Well done. I'm really proud of you for going.
It was a lot of pressure, mate.
Go on.
Right.
So where, go on, set the scene. Who are these fellas for
the
a start?
The lads that I'm in recovery with.
Yeah.
So that is organised by sort of men in recovery, which, listen, just to give a sort of an overview without blowing anyone's cover, is it's like includes sort of men that are sort of quite hard and that have been inside and stuff like that. But it also includes men that are very tender and sort of sweet. And
which
because
category do you fit into?
Sweet. and our general, and that, I like it with him. they're all my friends.
Should we start a mini league over there, lads? What do you think?
Listen, oi, watch it. Now, sorry, what was you saying about it? What was the question? I'm actually more close to the category of the folks that have been inside, as it turns out. But that is in the context of just a general chat and me providing them with emotional succor and support. Mm. What that's not in the context of is barreling challenges. And it's five-a-side as well. There's too many people on each pitch. And
what?
It was what was bad and unfortunate is that I was on the worst side.
That's a shame for your first one.
It is. Yeah. I was on the demonstrably worst side. Like every single player of theirs, even though I'll take this, I was the worst of all players.
Were you?
Even though I scored.
Well done.
Got an assist, did a back heel, and two of my errors definitely led to goals. Directly to goals. Right. Like I make an error. What I notice is a lot of people don't seem as when I'm playing football, I now know because having done it, I'm playing it like I'm like Shelley or Larkin.
Right.
Like I'm like a poet. I don't mean in my ability to administer poetic. I mean my inner life. I'm thinking. I'm fretting. I'm freaking out there. A lot of people, they're making mistakes. They don't care. They're just carrying on. As a mistake. Doesn't matter. Me, I'm on a razor's edge. Mm. I realise now that I don't like to be in situations where I'm incompetent because I don't like that feeling. No. I don't like the feeling of exposing. I don't like being exposed to my incompetence and ineptitude and total lack of power, even though ultimately that is the deepest reality there is universally. Right. It's a total lack of power in everything that's meaningful, like, you know, the matters, affairs of the heart, the inevitability of death, the inability to prevent serious things happening in your life. That's closer to reality. You have nothing.
But we distract ourselves from that, don't we? And you can't distract yourself.
My game of football. But football for me is it concentrated that. It brought it into sort of like, you know, like they say, like saying like uranium, it weighs more. Like sort of it's like imagine something that's the size of a ball bearing, but weighs as much as a planet. That's what it felt like out there. Yeah. Like everything had been sort of concentrated into this dense, dark matter of personal ineptitude. And like my whole time I was thinking, oh no, right. And like not wanting. Also, by the way, I wish it was a film. If I play again, and I think I should, what I'll do is I'll pretend I'm in a film about a very confident, inept footballer.
Right.
That's where I'll be. Very vocal and confident and inept, and I don't care.
Yeah.
That's what I'll be playing the part of. I'll just be like, come on to me, I'm open! I'm open down the line, play off the wall! And I don't care that what happens after that is I make a dreadful mistake.
You have to get over feeling like you're looking quite silly. You have to get over that because that's the first thing. If you go into that game thinking, I'm going to look really silly doing this, it's not going to go well.
Don't think about that.
You cannot do that.
Self-consciousness.
Right.
Self-obsession. Mm. These are the roots of it. Now, I had a technique from Nick Orton. I did tapping on it before I did it.
Well, you should have been passing, not tapping.
And my goal weren't a tapping, it was a volley, half volley, but nonetheless, I did some tapping before it because I was like, look, I'm actually unduly worried about this, and I know that like it's one of those things that if I actually just didn't care, it wouldn't matter. Like no one else would care for me if I didn't care, and I know that, I think it was Michael Ball, the show business West End star, that said he got off ill with, I think, tuberculosis? No, glandular fever. That's right. That's what it was.
Why do you know all these quotes from Michael Ball?
I know a lot about Michael Ball, and I know even more about Michael Crawford. I know a lot about people who are West End musicals.
Right, okay.
Michael Crawford, The Phantom, Michael Ball sang that song. I don't know why, it's stupid. But like Michael Ball, anyway, he got glandular fever. He had to take a bunch of time off, and he got nervous. I can't do show business anymore. It's too nerve-wracking. And then he did do a performance that was on ITV, and he said he watched it back, and he said he couldn't tell at all that he was nervous from watching it.
Right.
And he thought, oh, it's meaningless. There's no point being nervous. And it made him better. He sort of tricked himself into not worrying anymore. So that's what I'll try and do.
That's good.
With the tapping. If you stop caring, what does it matter? What does it matter? You're making it matter through your caring.
Yes.
For God's sake. Anyway, and I bet there's something deeper about that. Anyway,
So the moral of this story is be more Michael Ball.
Be a lot more like Michael Ball when you play football and stop caring. Stop caring so much. Anyway, I did some tapping. And Nick Ortner, a Spurs fan, an Argentina fan, said, like he does tapping on Tapping Solutions, like he goes, what are you trying to achieve with this? Because, you know, you're not trying to be a footballer. Same as, like, you know, say I do Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. I'm like, at that, I'm at an appropriate level of effort. This is just a hobby. I'm not trying to win any. You know what I mean? It's all cool. But, like, it doesn't for me have the same cultural weight and impact, and it's not so infused with personal and wounding and meaning.
I think what it meant to us as young, I don't know, teenagers or even before that, I remember being at primary school and not being good at football, and it was my entire identity, and it defined my progression through primary school hugely, to a point where I thought, by the time I start secondary school, I'm going to be better at football and I'm going to know about football, because I thought that's my way through school. So it is important, certainly.
We're asking a question now. Think carefully before you answer it. Are you good at football? And the answer to this question is going to define your whole life in every way. No. Well, I'm afraid that your life's going to be not very good. Like you, at football. So, like, you know, all of that has been carried. Anyway, he goes, Nick Orton goes, what's your objective? And I goes, really? You know, he goes, you're only attending this match, you're attending, you're showing up, and then what are you going to do? Play. Mm. Attend and play. That's all you're doing. Go then, play. And I realise, actually, that's all life is at all. Just show up to where you're meant to be, and then play. Mm. It doesn't need to be full of resistance. It doesn't need to be fretful. I really sort of realised that. Like, and that, as an observation, was helpful. The degree to which I was able to do that is that where there's a discussion, because I felt like I was in a crucible of self-consciousness where I was being confronted with 1,000 things at once. It was like 1,000 therapy sessions simultaneously. It did so many things to me.
Wow. Well, look, I'm going to join you at some point. I'll laugh at brand way.
I hope not. I've built a football club for you to manage.
No, it'll be a nice bonding experience. I would.
The Buckinghamshire Ponces. what I want is to not care.
Yeah. I think that comes with time. Also, I think that, you know, getting used to the group and all of those kind of things, it will become more about looking forward to participating than like being anxious about how you're going to perform.
Yeah.
So keep on going with it, Ross.
Keep on going, because you have to continue to progress yourself in numerous ways in this life, or do you? This is a fantastic little football story. Napoli won Serie A after 33 years. And like a couple of years ago, when they didn't win Serie A, the notorious Napoli ultras, that means the sort of football fan contingency that are in English football, a football hooligan is a sort of a bloke down a pub, right?
Mm.
That's what they sort of basically are.
Yes.
Like, you know, they've not got a secondary, their secondary identity, you know, will be maybe they work in a trade, or what about sometimes you're surprised by they work in a city or something like that, you know, like they work in finance.
Mm.
This is their outlet. But in the Napoli ultras, it's like actually that bit of their identity is backed by, I would suggest from the aesthetics of this video, criminality, quite serious criminality. And given that it's in the south of Italy, and I don't want to do any racial profiling here, but I feel like the Cosa Nostra has a relatively strong presence in the region. Seems like what's backing up the, it's not like, oh, then we're off down the booze out to have a pint and a pie and a bit of a tear up. It's a bit more like what they actually have is a sort of membership of a sort of a criminal organisation.
Yeah, and the ultras are like, I mean, they're a big part of the crowd. They like have their own section.
Oh, their own bit.
Yeah.
This is our bit.
This is the bit where the ultras
it's official.
Are. Yeah, I mean, it comes across that way. I don't know.
We're the ultras.
Yeah, it's a big part of Italian football, the ultras still.
Yeah, I know, because like there's this thing where Paolo, like where West Ham fans went to see Paolo Di Canio in Rome, I think, and the ultras like picked him up and like they're taking him around and picked up some of the West Ham sort of fans and like was he like in West like in English football, it's like the hooligan fraternity might be a firm like the ICF or the Chelsea Headhunters or whatever, and but it all seems somewhat less formal than this. And like a couple of years ago when Napoli didn't win Serie A, they broke into the manager's car, which I think is a Fiat 500, nicked his CDs, which is a bit weird that even a couple of years ago he still had CDs.
Spalletti, isn't he? He's old school.
He's old school, is he? Mm. And they nicked his steering wheel. And now, because he's won, it was a Fiat Panda. Now, because he's won Serie A, they said he could have it back. And they bought it back for him in a ceremony. And here it is. And look at the ultras, though. Look how they're dressed and everything. It's pretty mental.
Bad though, isn't it?
It's pretty mad they're still in balaclavas.
Only in Italy.
And also it's quite funny that like they kept it, so it was sort of almost done in good humour even then, but it was an actual break into a car.
Yeah.
It's weird that.
Really weird.
That is culturally fascinating, and I don't think it's that bad.
It's difficult to know, isn't it?
I mean, it's funny, isn't it?
We'd need to know the kind of complexities they're involved in.
Well, like, he seems right. They're cuddling.
Yeah. I guess it's obviously there's an element to which this is a sanctioned element of, I said element twice there, a sanctioned part of the game initially then. If you've got a scene where the literally the title winning manager is kind of, you know,
inviting him into what looks like the dressing room.
Yeah.
To return his steering wheel and his CDs. Mm. It's pretty fascinating and mental, and it's part of the culture. Look, imagine for a moment if this was something that was taking place in a, inverted commas, more exotic nation. Imagine if it was happening in Kashmir or something, and there was some organisation and everyone was wearing dress that made them identifiably not European or whatever. Mm. I think you'd go, fucking hell, that's sort of cool. Mm. And you would accept that there's different customs and different traditions. Well, it's sort of like that. With the ultras, it appears they've got this tradition where they'll break in your car, nick some of your stuff, as a sort of to incentivise you to perhaps win Serie A within the next couple of years,
which they did do by a
bloody
big
hell.
Margin.
Because obviously the connotations of that is we can get in your car and nick your stuff, and if you don't win Serie A, we might get in your house and mess you up.
Right.
My mate Brian McDermott, who's director of football at Hibs, he said you've got to go once. He goes, but do leave early and get in a car and have a car waiting to go home. Like, you know, he says it's an unbelievable experience to go to see Napoli in Naples.
Wow.
I've
been to Naples. I didn't get to see a game.
Have you seen any?
Few Italian games.
You go Italy a lot and you talk Italian, don't you?
I do a bit, yeah.
You talk Can you say...
There is a more... to me, personally, a more intimidating vibe about it. Than there is in
Do you think that's because you're foreign or do you think that's because it's more intimidating?
I don't know.
There's a section called the hooligan section.
The stadiums are still very old school in Italy. Very, you know... Concrete
and mad, like
that it feels almost because of the imagery that you know remember from the time that it kind of harks back to that, and you kind of feel and the ultra presence is there definitely.
Your experience is in watching Italian football.
I mean, I love going to watch Italian football, but yeah, it's different. I would say it's different to the Premier League.
I want to go
quite different.
Well, what about with Luton? That's going to be good.
There you go.
That's gonna spice amazing. Up our lives. Mm. A little bit of Luton in the Premier League.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited about it. All right, so it's nearly time to wrap up the show, but now we've got to do the final prediction. Oh my God, you won by a sort of a romp in the end. It was like a Man City Arsenal. I was ahead for a minute and then like choked right at the last minute because you got two correct results and four correct scores. Let's have a look at that table again just to see. Because I think this is wide open to corruption, like Syria, because you went away and did your results alone. Didn't you? We did lose to Leicester.
I would say I did all my predictions before the games happened. So,
and that's really the only thing a prediction requires, isn't it? The only time a prediction becomes less valid is when you make it after an event. Like now, when West Ham have either already won or lost their conference to Fiorentina or against them. Quick prediction for Man City Inter Milan. It's impossible to conceive of anything other than a thrusting Priapic, mighty, red-cocked Haaland, sort of smashing, pillorying through them, battering down into Milan. Yeah.
Foregone conclusion.
Foregone conclusion.
I think.
Inevitable.
Inevitable.
Almost worth not bothering to do it.
I'll watch it, but it won't. And I, yeah, I'd love Inter to win it. I would.
Still at this point, you want to deny Man City something.
Yeah, I heard Guardiola. And maybe, do you know what would happen? If they lost, I'd probably then feel guilty and sad. That's what would happen.
Because Guardiola is nice. And he's all nice young men.
And I saw him do an interview this week where he said there'll be a lot of people not wanting us to win. And I thought, yeah, I'm one of those.
I'm those.
But then I think, well, actually, they do deserve it. They are the best team probably in the world. He deserves it.
And why not let him have it at this point?
Yeah.
Let him have that victory.
Yeah, but I guess my point is like for the fans,
for the
not it
the
being
the
foregone conclusion, it would be exciting, wouldn't it, if Inter, you know, made a big shock.
Yep. All right. Oh, we've got to predict an actual score.
Oh.
What are you going to... Why don't you do one live for once?
Yeah,
instead of
okay.
going off to your lab and looking at all your data.
City 3-1 then.
All right. 4-0 City.
Wow. Nice.
What about West Ham? 2-0 West Ham.
Yeah, I definitely think West Ham will win. I think it might be closer.
And they might score.
I'll go 2-1 then.
All right. Great. So there's our predictions. Until next time, thank you very much for watching Football is Nice. Football is nice?
It is, yeah.
Football is nice.